Welcome, welcome, Freedom Fighters. Welcome to tonight's session. We've had a few technical difficulties, but we are here. If you can hear us, just type in the chat, G2G, good to go. If you're watching live, hashtag live. If you're watching the replay, hashtag replay. So I've got Adam here, and we're super excited to be sharing with you what suburbs are going to boom in 2024. So Adam, any beginning thoughts before we delve deep into the topic?
Well, I don't think there's anything deep down, but I believe that anywhere in the country at the moment is pretty much going to be a good place to invest. I don't think there's a bad time, a bad place or time to invest. Australia's looking pretty good in the world market, but yeah, I'm not too concerned about anything at the moment, property-wise.
Absolutely. So we want to discuss with you what suburbs are going to boom. And yes, I would love to give you our top 100 suburbs, but I can't. But I can give you the next best thing, and that is how to begin to do your research, how to start to look into the property game to identify where those growth suburbs are going to be. So I've got a few little tips here. So the first one is obviously research and market analysis. So this is a very important step when you're identifying where you want to buy. So what we're looking for is strong historical growth. We're also looking at some of the future and what could be driving the future in that particular suburbs, as well as looking at population growth, infrastructure, employment opportunities, changes in the median prices over time as well. Like, this all goes into really knowing and doing your research and market analysis. Anything you want to add to that?
No, well, yeah, I think you're right. I think this country, I think we're heading towards a big population boom. We've got a lot of influx from overseas, and also people moving out of home, or if they can afford to move out of home. And we've just got a lack of housing because people are not building as many houses as we were before COVID. And also the fact that people can now see that you can work from home or work in some of the more country areas and commute to town, or work 2 days a week in the city and then live, you know, an hour from the city the rest of the time.
Absolutely. Other things to look at too is studying the demand-supply ratio. So when we're doing a due diligence for our members, we have about a 34-point PowerPoint presentation where we go through a lot of statistics analysis on that particular suburb. But also what we're looking for is demand-supply ratio. We want a high demand and low supply. We're also looking for things like your vacancy rates, like how low is the vacancy rates. We're also looking at how many days are properties on the market for in that particular suburb. Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? Because that is a key indicator, again, when it comes to your demand-supply ratio. Other things, metrics we're looking at as well is, you know, what kind of schools are in the area. We're looking
infrastructure, what's happening, what are they putting train stations in, what sort of commercials going in, residential housing developments. There's a few more.
Absolutely, along with also how wealthy the area is. So the affluence score is also very important, particularly when you're wanting to work at the right market cycle timing. Sometimes having a lower affluence score can actually be a benefit if you've got other scores in that particular suburb that are quite high. That is an indication that you are actually buying in a good market cycle timing, because as that affluence grows up, you start to gain capital growth. But if you've got a lot of your other scores, like your family scores and your authenticity scores and lifestyle scores on the lower end, and your affluence is low, probably not the right market cycle timing for that particular suburb. Anything else you want to add to that? I mean, what we can disclose, though, is that, you know, currently our members, we're currently buying in Queensland, South Oz, Western Australia. And even though those states have a property clock and they're right for the investing at the moment, it's also important to note that not every single suburb is in what George calls his top 100 suburbs, so his high performing suburbs. So it is important to check the historical data and do your due diligence on suburbs to ensure that you are buying at the right market cycle timing for that particular property.
Yeah, what I'd like to add a little bit to that. So what I like about sort of Queensland, southeast Queensland, there seems to be a lot of people moving to Queensland. There's less properties on the market for sale. So it comes back to, like you said earlier, supply and demand. If there's no properties for sale, people are just going to pay a bit more to get into the property. and also the vacancy rate in southeast Queensland. There's queues down the street to get into a rental property, and that also drives the price up. And then you've got the Olympic Games, which is also happening. That's going to drive prices up in southeast Queensland. Queensland's already had a 9.1% increase this year in pricing. When some other, you know, parts of the country have flatlined, Queensland's continued to grow, and it's been quite good.
Yeah, it's a very strong market. We've got a question here, and please make sure if you've got questions, let us know. So what good resources to get time on market data in particular areas? That is a really great question, because when you're doing your due diligence and looking at your market research, you're not going to pull it from one particular source, but multiple sources. So some of those sources are your Australian Bureau of Statistics, you've got DSR, you've got realestate.com, Property Investor. There's quite a few different places you can go to get your data, and you want to be pulling it from multiple resources.
Local councils. Local councils are a source of information. You can go there and they'll give you what's happening in the area, what development applications. You can get some good data from that. And also government websites to see what spending is predicted to happen into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also important to note that when George is selecting his top 100 suburbs, it's not a once a year pick my suburbs and I'm done for the year. It's something that you need to check every quarter. Correct. So, you know, you do your stats for the quarter, and then, you know, the next quarter you redo it all over again. And I guess what gave George the leading edge in the market was that he was able to create his own algorithm so that he could pinpoint those top 100 suburbs utilizing multiple sources of data and research. And I wouldn't necessarily think that was the most fun thing to do in the world, but George absolutely loves it. This is his happy place, if that makes sense. So, yeah, but great, great question. So other ways, Adam, that individuals, if they're looking to, you know, isolate what kind of things to look for in a suburb, anything else you can think of, like the schools, are schools important?
Schools,
roads.
But places that I like and I've liked over the years are places where you don't expect, like you don't look for your top of the range, most expensive suburbs. Like let's use Melbourne as an example. Like you don't go and buy a house in Toorak or Perham because that's just getting very expensive. Well, if you go out to the eastern suburbs or the western suburbs or even northern suburbs, those suburbs were classed as a not so good demographic. And like places like Melbourne's like Sunbury in the west, that was classed as not a very nice place. In the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, you go out to your Ferntree Gullies and those sort of areas, now they're big money. So places where you think, oh, that's a crappy place, I don't want to be there, I don't want to invest there, they are areas which could grow because it all comes down to cost. It's like the pyramid. Only a smaller amount of people can afford the top, but at the bottom, most people can. So you want to be somewhere in the cheaper side. And this is what I was saying about Western Australia. It's got the lowest median house price in the country at the moment. It's got low unemployment, and they only built 4,600 new homes last quarter when they need at least 20,000 houses to be built. So with the migration, they're expecting a 9.5% increase by 2025 in the WA area.
Wow.
So, like, I don't know suburbs over there, but what I'm saying is don't go for the top high-end suburbs. Go somewhere a bit out, which is a bit more affordable, because affordable properties are the ones that go up. And your interest repayments are a lot lower as well.
Absolutely. We've got another question here. Is Caboolture still a area to buy in?
Caboolture is unbelievable, yes. Yep,
yeah.
Answer that question.
That certainly is.
So that's basically, for people who don't know, that's north side of Brisbane. So you go Brisbane, then you head up towards the Sunshine Coast, up towards Noosa, which most people know. All those sort of areas through there, prices are just going up with supply and demand. As soon as stock comes on the market, it sort of gets snapped up. Definitely anything new which comes on the market just gets snapped up as well. Because that's another thing to mention. In southeast Queensland, we got the first home buyer grant as well. So the government, you're not paying stamp duty, and the government's giving you an extra $30,000 towards a purchase of a new property. So investors have now got your first home buyers to compete with when they're buying.
Ah, fantastic. Another way that can help support you to identify which suburbs are going to boom in 2024 is also seeking out experts. So working with, you know, those that really know the market quite well. George is one of them. There are a lot of others that, you know their markets quite well. But getting that expert advice can really be very, very helpful. So just to recap on how we can identify those growth suburbs in 2024, number one, do your research and ensure that you're looking at your infrastructure, your employment, demand supply ratio, understand some of the economic trends that might be happening. So forecasting and looking perhaps if you're not a lover of analysis and data like George is, then find an expert that does and leverage off their expertise.
So just, there's one more question there. I wouldn't mind answering that one if we got time.
Oh, yes, we do. Here we go.
So Manopara, so this was a suburb that George picked out, let's say, maybe 18 months ago.
Yes.
And back then clients were getting in there for high 300s, early 400s, 410, 420. Now to get into Manopara, your entry level would have to be 550 to 600 now.
Yeah.
So is Manopara a good suburb? Yeah, I can't see why it's not. It's going up, you know, $100,000 in 12 months. I'd take a 25% increase if it was offered to me.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that too, Adam, because yes, our members were buying in Manopara 18 months ago, but Adam and I were in Bali recently and we were doing our stats of, you know, what are the high performing suburbs, and Property Investor only of late last year had put Manopara on the mark, and we were already investing there before it even hits, you know, Property Investor before it hit the media. So I guess that's the leverage when you're working with an expert that can actually forecast and see well and truly in advance before everyone else catches up on that growth.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. It was lovely connecting with each and every one of you. Have an amazing Thursday. Adam, we're going to go into our next group with our members so we can delve a lot deeper into this.
If the technology allows us to, let's see how it goes. We'll give it a go.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, bye. Guys. Enjoy your night.